The first reading is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, commencing at the first verse. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John, a reading from chapter 2, commencing at verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. Jade's going to be preaching this morning, so I want to just pray with Jade as she does that. It's quite nerve-wracking, isn't it?
It wasn't until you said that. But.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jade. We thank you for the gift that you've given to her and the calling that she's feeling. And we pray that you'll just bless her this morning. Take her words, Lord, and apply them to our hearts. Encourage us and strengthen us by what she says. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
That blows my beginning prayer out of the water, so I'm just going to jump right into it. As you said, I am Jade, and I look after the children's ministry here at Buckingham Parish Church. You might have seen me hovering around the back during the service, waiting for the children to be called out. So Spiritual gifts is something that I find fascinating, and it's a topic that really interests me. And it's also a topic that I'm really passionate about encouraging in our young people and in our children. So when I found out I was going to be speaking on it today, I was naturally very excited. But the idea of spiritual gifts, it can be a concept that definitely has potential to be overwhelming, maybe difficult to understand if it's a new concept to you, or perhaps it's difficult to relate to. So let's start by delving into what Scripture actually says about these gifts, like what they are, how they work, and how we should use them. So when thinking about the spiritual gifts, the list is quite long, and I find it best to categorize them into types of gifts. So firstly, there are certain types of gifts the Spirit offers to us. We have manifestation gifts. And these are the ones that we heard in our reading in Paul's letters to Corinth. We find them in the reading 1 Corinthians 12 and verses 7 to 11. We have words of knowledge, wisdom, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and interpreting tongues. And these are the sorts of gifts that you're more likely to see in a church service. So you may be the person that prays out in tongues, or you may have overheard it. And we definitely share prophecy in our church services, so I'm hoping that you will have seen one. And yeah, next we have motivational gifts. And Paul writes about these as well, but we find them in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. And here he mentions similar ones. He mentions servitude, teaching, leadership, mercy, being an encourager, and believe it or not, he even mentions giving as a spiritual gift, so there is no excuse. Now, these types of gifts, they're more to do with the type of person we are. They're more connected in with who we are as a person. So for example, if you're often the last person in church stacking chairs, you're either on the payroll or you might have a gift of servitude. And if you wanted to go even deeper, Paul also mentions even more gifts in Ephesians. He lists occupational gifts like apostle, evangelist, and pastor. And like I said, these ones are connected more with occupations and jobs and roles that we might play, and these are called ministry gifts. And although the listed gifts are many and very different, they all come from the same Spirit, which I find so exciting. The list is very long, so the reason I'm going to just focus on Corinthians and Romans. Now I wonder, as I was reading, if any of you were particularly tuned in to connecting with any of them. You might have felt particularly drawn to a gift. And if you haven't, please don't worry, because next we're going to look at just who it is that can access these gifts. So, it tells us in the Bible that anyone who is in the Spirit and follows God can access these gifts. All Christians who are open to the movement of the Holy Spirit can use these gifts. However, it might appear sometimes that some people may seem more gifted than others, or have one gift while we have a different gift. And while all have access to these gifts, God will use us all in different ways and grow out our giftings individually too. I won't go into too much detail about it, as I believe next week we're going to be delving into the next part of chapter 12, which talks about how different parts of the body all work together. And it's sort of similar like that for the spirits. Spiritual gifts are often given in alignment with our own skill sets, talents, and paths in life that God has set out for us. But all gifts and all of us will work together under one body. For example, I work with children, and I consider myself altogether not too terrible at it, or I'd like to think so anyway, but there are some jobs that I could never do, or at least never have the patience to do. For example, the office team, the wonderful office team, and the things that go on in the office by a number of talented volunteers and staff, I personally could never dream of doing, and I tend to stay out of the way. The jobs that we do and the things that we're talented at, whether it's art, history, writing, speaking, all of these things is a very similar model to the gifts of the Spirit. They're all different, and although some overlap, they are all intended for different people for different reasons, but they are all gifted by the same God, the same Spirit. And again, I find that so exciting. I don't know about you, but I find the idea that one Spirit can gift so many things is such an encouragement to me. So you might be thinking now at this point, wonderful, I can access some of these amazing gifts that the Spirit is going to give. But just how do we access them? How can we access them if they are gifted by the Spirit and the Spirit decides who gets what gift? Now, Just because I mentioned that every gift is not likely to be fully given, or we are all given different ones for different purposes, doesn't mean that we can't tap into the Spirit and we can't access them. Perhaps you feel like you want to be a bit more of an encourager. You want the gift of encouragement. The simple answer is to just pray. Ask God. The Spirit already freely gives these gifts. And as I mentioned earlier, some of you might be already aware of your own giftings and be using them in your ministry areas already or in your day-to-day lives. But for some of us, we might feel that, one, we wouldn't know where to start, and two, even if we have the smallest of inclinations about something that might sound like something we could connect to, where do we begin? The first, the most obvious answer is the one I mentioned earlier, the textbook Christian response, which is just to pray, to ask God and to lean into the Spirit. The second is practice. Accompanied with prayer, stepping out in faith with courage and obedience and following where the Spirit calls you can be terrifying, but successful. For example, the gift of prophecy, a gift that particularly interests me and I find fascinating. God will reveal to you a word or a dream or a picture that might be for you or it might be for somebody else. And that's how God communicates with us through prophecy. And when it's for you, it can be less intimidating. And if you are certain that God has spoken to you, for you, you can step back and wash your hands and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the image." But that's all you need to do. Now, if God is calling you to share a word or an image with somebody else, that can be terrifying. But the only way that we get stronger in the gifts that the Spirit gives us, the only way that God can develop these gifts in us, is if we practice and if we step out in faith. It's alike to the parable of talents. And we have these talents, so why should we bury them when the Holy Spirit calls us to grow them and to share them and to develop them in us? I remember a few years ago I attended Focus, which our church goes to as a church family every year, and a friend of mine was very into praying for prophecy, and I was just figuring out prophecy for myself. I was just learning what it is, and I recall a particular instance where we were praying together, and for some reason my friend could not get the name Adam out of his head. So there was a word that accompanied the name, and my friend was looking around trying to spot who God was directing him to. And there was a small man behind a sound desk who wasn't really part of the whole main crowd. He wasn't part of the main stage, kind of doing his own thing, pushing the buttons and making everything work. And not the first person that you would think to approach. So my friend, urged by the Spirit, stepped out in faith and obedience and walked across to this man to share his word. And I remember at the time, in my own self, feeling nervous, feeling anxious, thinking, oh my gosh, he's going to get shut down. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be embarrassing. And I was nervous. I had secondhand nervousness for what was about to unfold. But the Spirit had it completely in hand, and the word turned out to be perfect, and the man's name was Adam. So, lo and behold, he came back beaming. The message had been for him, and it had gotten right. However, he did get it wrong often. I get it wrong often, as we all do with our own individual spiritual gifts. But the fact that we get it wrong is not something that the Spirit ever considers as, you've gotten that wrong, I'm going to take back what I've gifted you. You've stepped out and you've delivered something not the way I wanted you to do it. Or that was the wrong person, so I'm just going to take back the gift of prophecy. You don't get to have it anymore. That's not the Spirit that we know, and that's not how the Spirit gifts us. So this leads into my next point. If we feel that we have a calling into a particular gifting, or we already are aware of a gift that we use day to day, how should we be using it? Well, let's reflect on the story that I just told. My friend, having found out that this person's name was Adam and sharing the gift, succeeded in encouraging and uplifting him. And it worked very well. But it is not always that easy. Now, I would say that the key thing to hold in the center of our prayer requests when we're leaning into the Spirit and we're asking for more of this gift is that when God blesses us and the Spirit gifts us, which he will, that we remain, first of all, humble And I've seen plenty of instances where a particularly gifted person has just gone a little bit too, oh, look at me, look at the gift that I'm doing, look at the amazing things that I can do. Can anyone spot what was wrong with that sentence? The use of the word I. And while it is us that God uses as his servants and he speaks through us, it is not of our own doing. And it can be a very human response sometimes to put yourself higher than the spirit that is gifting us. So the first piece of advice I would give is to remain humble. The second is that when you are exercising your gifts, make sure you are exercising them with encouragement and you are exercising your gift in love. Not for your glory, but to encourage and serve others as God commanded for his glory. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. That's the reason that God gifts us so freely and is so generous with them and uses us as his servants for his glory. And serving others is serving the Lord. So are we not all called to be servants of the Lord? I think we are. So to conclude, some of you might have been sitting here whilst I've been talking, thinking over a particular gift that you wish to grow in, or perhaps you may feel that you don't quite know just what spiritual gifts that the Spirit could offer you. Or perhaps you do know in your mind that you have been using your gift wrongly, that you have been using it without humility, not to encourage, but to advance your own agenda. Why don't we just take a moment of silence to reflect on what is going on in our own hearts right now? And so I want to pray over us. Father, I thank you for your generous spirit, and I thank you that you are a God that wishes to draw near to us through gifting. I pray over all of us that you would use each and every one of us as your servants, Lord. I pray that you would bless us with giftings, guide us to grow them and use them for your glory, to advance the kingdom, to encourage one another, to serve each other, and to serve you. And I pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen.
Bless you. Thank you.